end with a generation, Lord, that has the power to give away destruction and seeking that dwells in the midst of the coals of fire.
Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo is a prophetic teacher of God's word with a strong apostolic authority. He's an apostle sent to revive and set man ablaze for Yahweh. He's a preacher to the youth and carries a message of revival to quicken the feeble in the nations.
And with that generation rise that have stamina in God's presence, a generation that can look upon him until the light breaks out of the spirit realm. If our service exceeds 3 hours, people are tired. How can you be tired in God's presence? The realm where life dwells.
As a revivalist par excellence and an itinerant preacher, Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo's bedding and pattern in life is to have men and women walk in the tangible experience of God and maximize the full scope of their eternal ordinations.
How can you come to the fountains of life and instead of being reinvigorated, you are tired? He said, times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. He said, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeareth before the Lord. How come our generation cannot break out of flesh and enter the chambers of life?
Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo is the president and founder of the Encounter Jesus Ministries International, situated in Abuja, Nigeria, with a mission of the creation of a platform for encountering the Lord and furnishing his experiential knowledge in the hearts of men. He holds a BSc, bachelor's degree in pure chemistry, an MSc, master's degree in physical chemistry, and a doctorate degree in chemistry from the Benue State University of Agriculture, Makurdi, BSU. Apostle Michael Ape Orokpo is also a lecturer at Adulam Bible College and runs an online mentoring program where he mentors thousands of people into knowing God experientially and fulfilling their purpose within the context of God's will. Apostle Michael Orokpo is married to Mrs. Osenega Michael Orokpo and they are blessed with a child.
Glory to Jesus. It will take a while to recover from the things we see here, especially for the duration of time it took for these things to appear. My God, I want to watch the documentary. I don't know if something is happening to you already, but I'm catching something. I'm a magnet in the spirit. When I see something, I catch it. And watch out. In a few years' time, we will come, call God's servant to come to Nigeria. Michael! You know, when you catch the grace and you replicate it,
yes, sir,
you have to honor the source.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When we are about to dedicate something like this, we will trace him, we will find him, and we will bring him,
yes,
to speak over him. Celebrate our father, our prophet, our pastor, our teacher, and his dear wife. Come on, give the Lord a shout,
yeah,
as we honor the grace of God. Thank you so much, sir. We are deeply honored that the Lord sent you to us at such a time as this. He said there was a man sent from God. So there are men sent from God. Prophet Nana is one of those men. Thank you so much, sir. And thank you, Mama, for the hospitality. When you come here, it becomes difficult to leave. Glory to God. How many of you were here in the morning? Were you blessed? Can we celebrate Jesus for Pastor Joe? What a blessing. Give the Lord a shout. Amazing. Amazing, amazing anointing. While she was ministering, I was just being refreshed. I was being healed. My spirit man was just mantling up with strength. It's truly been an encounter. No opposition anymore can intimidate me. Because now we know we will confront the giants, we will take them out, we will conquer the land, and we will glorify the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a shout. Lift your hands toward heaven. I salute every pastor, every prophet, apostle, and minister here tonight. Thank you for coming. It's a blessing to have you. One more time, can you just talk to Jesus? This place is heavily charged. I'm wondering if I can teach. Because I plan to teach and then to preach tomorrow and ascend. Lift your hands and ask the Lord to send His word in your direction. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. The sound of the heavens, the sound of creation, Yahweh is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Intimacy. Thank you, Father, for the many things you've done in our lives. And thank you for the many more things you will do. Thank you, Father, for entrusting us with the right to advance your kingdom on the face of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Spirit. Thank you for the empowerment of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the graces that you keep furnishing us with and the body of Christ at large. Thank you, Father, because there's a shift for everyone. Thank you, Lord, because we'll walk in His experience and Your name will be glorified. We give You praise, we give You glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. I was just trying to reculture the atmosphere so I can teach for a while. At some point in the course of teaching, my soul will ascend. And then when we touch, you know, the presence of God has many dimensions and many realities. Sometimes when you come into the presence of God, you interact with light. That light is what grants you access to the mysteries of the kingdom. Sometimes you come into the presence of God and you just interact with the river. He said there's a river that flows from the throne of God. The tributaries, he said, it maketh glad the cities of God. That river is what brings joy to your spirit. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so you come into God's presence, you just leave, you become like a rock. Because you've touched something. And then sometimes when you come into the presence of God, you interact with the coals of fire. The coals of fire. It does not only purge you, it also energizes and intensifies the grace of God on your life. That's when you begin to lose the ability to keep the coordination, the comportment. You may come in with gravity because you are trained, you are an elite, but when you start touching those fires, you will melt. And then you lose your comportment. That's where you prostrate. You don't know what to do, you just cry. And then you are wondering, how can such a gallant man weep like a child? He's touching something that is immortal. The creatures that walk in those corridors, they are called the seraphims, the burning ones. And so when you touch those dimensions, you must burn. And so at some point in this service, we will touch fire. That's what I'm trying to say. And so those of you who are lukewarm, you came lukewarm, the spiritual lethargy, something will hit you. That's when you will know, when prophet said he prayed for 3 days, it's not by discipline. Discipline is important, but there's a realm of hunger. There's a realm of burning. So you are praying, but it's not you praying. It's a spirit in you praying. That spirit will energize you, pray through you, and you will pray through him. And so we trust God for that invasion this evening, because new dimensions will be born from the spirits of men. Like our father said, the number 8 is the number of the new beginning. And so you can't come for a conference and a meeting like this and something new does not start in your life. It's impossible. It's impossible. Something new will definitely begin from your life in the name of Jesus. Tonight, I want to teach us briefly yet again on our theme. We are looking at dominion and we are trying to understand the different facets to the subject, the different dimensions to the subject. And so yesterday I routed it through the corridor of the blessing, that a man can walk in dominion only and only if he's walking under the blessing. And we saw many persons in scriptures that had dominion because of the blessing. And I also showed us the order of the blessing. When the blessing comes upon your life, the operation of the Spirit in your life is separated into 3 major orders. The first is the order of the priesthood. You discover a burden to minister to the Lord. Your life's ambition becomes your continuous and consistent ability to satisfy the appetites of the oracles of God. You just want to minister to Him, you want to love Him, you want to honor Him, and just grow in intimacy. It's a dimension of the blessing. There is no man who is blessed who does not prioritize the presence of God. Because the blessing is not a material thing. Material things are attestation to the fact that the blessing is on your head. He said, it's the blessings of God that make it rich. So the blessing is not the riches. The blessing is what maketh rich. Are we together? The blessing actually is the ability to apprehend God and to walk in intimacy with the Lord. And then we spoke about kingship, which is authority. Authority that is exercised through our speakings. And so we are not just talkers. When we talk, we are enforcing abilities. Because where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Sometimes you may be charged. Sometimes you may not be charged. Whether you are charged or not, there's authority on your word. You can wake up from sleep and tell a barren woman, go and have children. And that word will be honored because it's a king talking. You can't change what he says. His words are law in the spirit. Only a blessed man exercises that level of dominion. And then we also spoke about the right of the firstborn, which is the double portion. And I showed us from scripture how different men walked in the blessing. But I said the blessing also has a protocol. And I gave us a few protocols for activating the blessing. I spoke about obedience. I spoke about sacrifice. I spoke about consciousness. I spoke about gratitude and all of that. Now, this evening, I want to look at the subject of dominion from another dimension. And I'm deliberate in what I'm teaching because I don't just want you to catch something. I also want you to practice it, to work it out so you become what you've caught. Because it's possible to catch something, walk in it, experience, but because you don't know how to steward it, you lose it over time. And this is why many believers sometimes begin to ask questions. I experienced this for 2 weeks. I experienced it for 3 weeks. I experienced it for 3 months. Why is it no longer there? Because they are not taught to work it out. And so beyond what you will catch, it's important for you to go home with something, practice it, and it becomes your life. Praise God. And so tonight, I also want to look at another subject under exercising dominion. And I call it dominion by the anointing. Dominion by the anointing. And I'm choosing what I'm addressing and teaching carefully because I want to teach on subjects that everybody is a participator in. We are all participators of the blessing. So it is not for a few selected individuals. And we are also all anointed. And so when I say these things, you would know that is something you can work out even if you were not a prophet. Because it's possible to come here and say, it's because it's a prophet, that's why these things are happening. And you would separate all of this manifestation of manifestations and seclude it to him because he's a prophet. But he's not doing what he's doing just because he's a prophet. A dimension of it is because he's a prophet, because it aligns to his calling and the assignment he has for the nation of Ghana, for the world, for this generation and beyond. But over and above that, what he's doing because of the things that he has caught in the spirit and his ability to steward them. Praise God. And so tonight is important for you to know that you are anointed and also to know how to walk in the anointing. Because you're walking in the anointing is what will confer dominion on your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In discussing the subject of the anointing, 3 things are important. The first important thing you need to know is the fact that anointings are in degrees. Anointings are in levels. You, 2 persons can be anointed. One might begin to service the anointing, grow in the anointing, and the other might not service the anointing. Over time, the operation of the anointing on the life of the one servicing the anointing will be greater than the one who isn't servicing the anointing, because the anointing is in degrees. In Ezekiel 47, you saw that when the prophet walked into that vision, he said 1,000 cubits was poured and it was at the ankle. another 1,000 cubits was poured, and it kept increasing in degrees. Are we together? In the New Testament, however, the anointing is not poured in 1,000 cubits. They are rivers. They say, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Rivers. So the degree to which you service the anointing is what will determine how many rivers flow from you and the propensity of the flow of those rivers. So somebody might have a river of healing. Somebody might have a river of prosperity. Somebody might have a river of influence, but it doesn't service it. And so what will be coming out will be drops. Somebody else will service it to a point where it will be like an ocean. It will flood the whole nation. Same anointing, but different degrees. I walk in the healing anointing by the grace of God. But there are those who walk in the healing anointing, and on the strength of the river, the volume that comes out of them, they are global. They address presidents. They address nations. In fact, some persons on the strength of the healing anointing have entered Arab nations. The sheikhs receive them and say, heal our people. Preach whatever you want to preach. At the end of the day, there's too much sickness in this land. Meanwhile, you want to enter those nations, they will probe you like a criminal. If you are lucky to get the visa, they will follow you around with they might deport you from the country because of the river, the volume flowing through you. Praise God. And so it's your duty to grow it. Then there is also a second thing you need to know about the anointing, that the anointing is sensitive to the responsibility you put on it. You can stir the anointing on your life, but you don't put any responsibility on it. You pray in tongues, you are charged, and you go to sleep. So you fan the fire to flame and allow the flames to just burn and die out. It doesn't work like that. In Romans chapter 12 from verse 6 to verse 8, the scriptures began to show us how that the graces and the giftings and the anointings on our lives are for definite responsibilities. And so if you want a dimension of the anointing to work, you've got to put responsibility on it. It says, having the gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion, speaking about the degree, and then according to the proportion of faith, go further. It says, on ministry, let us wait. It said, on our ministry. It said, and he that teacheth, let him teach. Go further. It says, he that exhorted on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Him that ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. These are different responsibilities because of the different graces available. And so a grace can be available for you to carry out a dimension of operation. But a grace may be available, and because you did not engage in that dimension of operation, that grace will be dormant. And so there are many persons that are anointed to give. And it's in giving that they will become big in order to exercise dominion. But they never engage giving. Because every time you speak about giving, they are being careful to keep the lid to the heart because they don't want it to finish. It is not about to finish. Because no giver finishes giving. The more you give, the bigger you become. You don't give to reduce, you give to become bigger. It says, he that stealeth should stop and walk with his hand that he may have to give. The reason is simple. Work will not make you great. Work is only enough to give you something to eat. It's giving that will make you great. So it says, when you start working, don't work for salary and live off salary. It says, when you start working, quickly begin to give. Because the work will be enough to feed you, but it's your giving that will enlarge you. But the point I'm making is, when you put responsibility on the anointing begins to flow even stronger. Because different responsibilities are powered by different anointings. And then finally, the third thing you need to know about the anointing before we kick off is the fact that the anointing is sensitive to your office or to the calling that is on your life. Every one of us seated here, either at the level of ministry gifts or at the level of offices, there's a calling on our lives. Because every New Testament believer is called into the ministry of reconciliation. In reconciling, you may teach. In reconciling, you may exhort. In reconciling, you may give. In reconciling men to God, you may serve. But there is definitely a calling on your life. As you begin to give yourself to that calling, you will discover that the anointing begins to grow. And then at the level of the fivefold, which is not for everybody, he said to some he gave to be apostles, to some he gave to be prophets, to some he gave to be evangelists, to some he gave to be pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So these ones are called to perfect the saints, not everybody. So if you notice that you've been called into an office, you've got to begin to engage the demands the Holy Ghost puts on you because of that office, so that the anointing can begin to grow. But by all means, as a Christian, you must insist that the degree of the anointing you are walking in increases. You must insist on putting responsibility on the anointing on your life. And you must find the calling on your life, begin to engage it for that anointing to begin to speak. Because who you become and the level of impact you make is dependent on the operation of the anointing on your life. Even Jesus could not do much except as the anointing came upon his life. He walked the face of the earth for 30 years. In fact, when John was describing him in John chapter 1, here's what John said. He said, that which was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He said, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. And he began to give us his credentials. He said, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That's Creator. In him was life. So he's the source of life. That's number two. And he said, the life was the light of men. So if you read this scripture, this very short scripture, four things were said about Jesus. Number one, he was called God. Number two, he was called Creator. Number three, he was called the author of life. And number four, he was called the light of men. But God, Creator, life, and light walked through the world. And they said, Zebulun was in darkness. They said, Naphtali was under the shackles of death. Meanwhile, the light and the life was walking there until he returned in the power of the Spirit. When the anointing came upon his life for work, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile. He said, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He was called the light, but the people didn't see it, because it would take the anointing for the light to shine. Are you following? Now, this is Jesus. If Jesus needed the anointing, think about you. Without the anointing, you are naked. In Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. So he couldn't do good except as he was anointed. You see why you want to do many things but you can't. It takes the anointing to do it. I tell people, character is good, but it takes power to change the world. Jesus walked through the earth for 30 years with the best of character. He did nothing. The people were in darkness. Character preserves you. It's the anointing that takes the world. 30 years of sound character, 30 years of a good life, but no impact. Darkness remained, demons remained, everything could go wrong. But the moment the anointing came, in 3.5 years, he took the world by storm. So 1 year with the anointing is equivalent to 10 years with character. Don't get me wrong. You need to hear me when I talk about character. But I'm telling you, you need to be empowered for the work. Jesus discipled his disciples for 3.5 years. when he wanted to leave, he said, please, don't run into the wall with lecture notes. You have been with me for 3.5 years. You have seen everything. I can attest to your character. He said, but wait until you are endued with power from on high. If you go into the world with a good character, you will be a victim. So after learning character, make sure you carry power. And he told them, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. And the moment power came, they went out. One day, 3,000 added to the church. One day. Consider the propensity of dominion. The moment the anointing came. Every believer must understand how the anointing works. There is so much available to us. In fact, angels are surprised that Christians complain, that believers complain. Angels are surprised. Because you are supposed to be a wonder to your world with the things that are available to you. You are supposed to be a wonder. You have no reason to complain. There is too much at your disposal. The lack of dominion is a function of ignorance. And when this ignorance is taken away, you discover that dominion becomes a byproduct. And I want to share with you tonight about the anointing. Walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Sit down. Thank you so much. The young prophet, he's a company. Living around him is a burden. Before we came, he was all over the place. So I just told my wife, I said, take your time, handle him first before coming, because he can scatter this service. He has such capacities. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so let's read our scripture from yesterday, and then I build up to the subject. I'll teach for about 1 hour, then I will allow myself to jack up. You know, my trigger is my voice. When my voice is gone, I'll need a lot of wisdom and skill to manage myself. When I saw them roaring while they were singing here, I held my hand. I said, oh God, this voice will never go again. Because it's when you appear like a rod of thunder, a rod of lightning, that's where you feel, the territory will feel it, the territory. But I'll manage myself for 1 hour, then I will let loose. I will let loose. Genesis 1:28. It's one of the scriptures I read yesterday. It said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion. He now gave us the three realms that the first man had the right to dominate. Because the first man was limited. There were things that had not yet activated in him. For example, eternal life had not activated. So, the tree of life was in the garden, but he had not eaten it. So even though he was blessed, there was a limitation. Because God gave the jurisdiction for his dominion. He said, over the birds, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So his dominion was limited to the air, to the water, and to the land. You know that you don't need the Holy Spirit to dominate these three realms. Today, a godless man can design a plane. In fact, one of the men who is trying to take over space now, he said he is proud to go to hell. You know him? Go and search. I won't call his name. So, even with human intelligence, you can dominate the land. Some of the most beautiful things you see in the world today are in the Middle East. When you go to Dubai, people are traveling from everywhere to come to dominate. To see the spectacle. You see building, and building is curved like this. And everything is glass. You know what's going on? They create what sea? The beach in the island, in the desert. That's dominating the earth. And then they dominate the waters. You have submarines today that can go to the belly of the sea, and people are there for 3 months living a normal life. So this level of dominion is a weak dominion. This level of dominion is a generic dominion. Just the way God said, I allow the rain and the sun to fall on both the good and the evil. They are generic dimensions and authority God gave to man because of his love. So even if you've not known God, enjoy that. His benevolence still creates allowance for godless people. Because if God turns his back on godless people, they will die. Even the people who are saying, God does not exist. If God turns his back on them, they will die. Even the devil is breathing today because of God. The mercy of God, you can't exhaust this. It's too much. So the man who is killing Christians is able to kill Christians because of the mercy of God. The terrorist who carries gun and say, I'm going to destroy the Christian world, is able to do that because of mercy. If mercy is withdrawn, he will melt. If grace is taken away, he will dematerialize. So there is a generic dominion for the air, the land, and the water. But you see, this was also okay for Adam. The reason this was okay was because the earth at this time was enveloped from spirits. No spirit had authority in the earth at this time. The only being that had authority on earth at this time was Adam. But after this period, we saw that a serpent crept into the garden and began to advise Adam to rebel. After Adam rebelled against God, if all your dominion is in the air, the water, and the sea, you are finished. Because now, they are demons. Now, they are principalities who are also interested in territories. So, there are spirits today who are interested in Ghana. If Adam didn't fall and spirits were not given legality to function on the earth, you would have come with intelligence to dominate the air, the water, and the land. And that would have been okay. But you see, because spirits are also authorities over the earth now, if this is all you have, you are finished. You know, when God's servant was speaking, he said, when they came here, they thought this was a vast land. You will come and say, get some architects, build a White House here, build this here, until it's night. You will now discover that the owners of the land are not those who sold it to you. When it's night, the harmless water you saw, that you are now thinking of purifying it and creating a beach, you will see cows come out of the water. That's when you will know the true owners of the land. The man who sold it to you is the caretaker. That's the human caretaker. The owners of the land, they are in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, wherewith you'll be able to stand in the day of trouble. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities,
and powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Hope you remember I said the earth is what? Covered with darkness. So they are rulers of the darkness of this world. And he said there are spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Because Adam rebelled, the earth became connected to all the heavens. And there is a heaven called the second heaven where principalities and angels cohabit. It's a ground of warfare. Because earth has been connected even to that heaven, your dominion needs to exceed the air, the land, and the water into the heavens. And so when Jesus was speaking, Jesus made a comment in Matthew chapter 18. He said, from verse 18, he said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there I am in the midst of them. And he said, whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever they lose on earth is loosed in heaven. So our authority level now and our jurisdiction of dominion is no longer air, land, and water. Even the heavens have been added. Because if you don't have dominion in the heaven, the prince of the power of the air that rules over the sons of disobedience can come to dominate you. And so there are authorities men need to begin to tap into. One of those authorities is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But you see, just to see, to give you a bit more light on what I'm saying, let me show you three authorities that are available to man. Number one is the authority of the second Adam. The authority of the first Adam covers the air, the land, and the waters, according to Genesis 1:28. But you see, the second Adam came with authority higher than air, land, and water. 1 Corinthians 15. This is background. Please follow me. When the glory comes, there'll be no one to say. Like his head is on fire. Like there's a fire set on his head. And as that fire was burning, the fire became like a wind of fire. And it started spreading into Europe. Don't worry, you don't need to do anything. That what I'm saying now, it will happen in the natural. Don't worry, don't clap. God. There is a fire on this man's head. That's why your head has been full of inspiration. You keep thinking of things, but the things you are thinking of, you can't do them in Ghana. You have to be taken by a power into another land that have such level of technological advancement. It's as you dominate that land that you will help Ghana, because there's a fire on your head. Wherever that person is now, I release that flame. I release that flame. Ushers, help me bring the person. Huh. Oh, when the glory comes, there'll be no words to say. Yeah.
sent his word to Jacob, a lightning upon Israel. And so what the Lord is saying is that there's a spirit of wisdom that is putting upon the young people here this evening. It will make you relevant beyond Ghana.
Amen.
It will make you relevant beyond the shores of Africa. You will come into an economy of wisdom that even those who it seemed to be their own invention, they will learn from you. Because it will be by the Spirit. Let's proceed. Just leave it. He said, verse 45. And so it is written. He said, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. He said, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit. He's trying to show you two economies. And these two economies are divine systems of dominion. Because when he spoke about the operation of the first Adam, he said to have dominion, and he gave him jurisdictions. And so now he's talking to you about another Adam, and he's trying to contrast and to compare them. So you will know your operational modalities, because you are not just of the first Adam. In fact, now you are of the last Adam. He said, the last Adam was a quickening spirit. Go further. He said, how be it? That was not the first, which is spiritual. So the kind of authority that the first Adam was wielding was mental, intellectual, and physical. So he said, that Adam's operation was not spiritual. He said, but it was natural. He said, and afterwards came the second Adam, which has authority not just in the natural, but also in the spirit. Because the first operation was completely natural, the air, the land, the water. But here comes another who has authority beyond air, land, and water. Because the ecosystem has been modified. Spirits are now involved in human civilization. You know, you can sit down and say, if our president is a graduate, things will work, he should know what to do. What you will not know is that that throne where he sits, there are spirits who are interested in it. So you can go there with a master's degree from Harvard. The moment you sit there, another inspiration will enter you. If there is no power to control how you think, you will be shocked. After 8 years, you will now come out and say, what did I do? You were a puppet. A spirit handled you. It was the spirit doing through you. You did it. Now spirits are involved. There's a young man. Anytime there's no money in his hand, he is very smart. He will show you strategies, wisdom on what to do. He's so creative when he's poor. But the moment money enters his hand, he will come alive in foolishness. He will change everything he has. And all he spends his money on are liabilities. When the money now goes, he will wake up. I said, what happened? How did I just spend 100 million? There's a spirit that whispers into his ears when there's money. If there were no spirits, he would have been a good guy. He would have made impact. But spirits are involved. And so there are dimensions we need to walk in order to dominate. And so he's showing us some comparison. He said the last Adam is spiritual. Go further. He said the first Adam is of the earth. And so he's what? Earthy. He said the second Adam is the Lord. The Lord. So this one is not just a being. This one is a Lord. The first Adam is one of the servants in the kingdom. But this one is Lord. And it's not just Lord of earth. He's Lord from heaven. So when he came to earth, he came to impart dominion on the earth. So he came from a superior dimension. This is Lord from heaven. After comparing the two Adams, he now spoke to us. And this is what he said. He said, as the earth, as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy.
And as is the heavenly, such are they that are heavenly. That means you can choose the dimension to walk in. There are those who choose the operation of the last Adam. They are logical, they are arithmetic, they are rational, and they are actually dominating the earth. The air, the water, and the sea. He said, but there are also those who have decided to tap into the economy of the last Adam, which does not only dominate the natural, but also dominates the spiritual. And the way to do it is what he showed us. He said, as we have borne the image of the earth, he said, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Let's see power on that man. Help him. As we have borne the image of the earth, he said, we must also what? Bear the image of the heavenly. And how do you bear the image of the heavenly? When you accept Christ, he said, you have put on the Lord Jesus. And so that time you call Jesus the Lord of your life, you bore the image of the heavenly. And so when a man begins to grow in the revelation of Christ, he begins to have dominion. That's one dimension of ruling in the heavenlies. To walk in the revelation of Christ, the Son of God. But that's not the area I'm going tonight. I don't have enough physical energy to do that. Because if I start teaching on that, we will explode. I'll keep it till tomorrow. I will talk about Christ, the office of the Christ, and who you are on account of that revelation. But that's one of the ways to rule from the heavens. Number two is what we read from Matthew 18, verse 18 to 19. The ecclesia. When we gather together like this, we are like a senate, a spiritual senate that represents different constituencies. And he said, if we are able to agree, then we have authority in the heavens. When we bind on earth, it's bound in heaven. When we lose on earth, it's loosed in heaven. So, two very vital ways of exercising dominion is by your revelation of Christ and who you are in Him, and by our corporate existence as the church, the body, or the ecclesia. But the third way of exercising dominion is by the operation of the Holy Ghost. That's what we are talking about tonight, the anointing. When the anointing comes upon a man, the Bible said, he dominates in the heavens and in the earth. And so in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So he was not just doing good. The word good there is the word philanthropy. But over and above natural tendencies of good, he said, everybody that the spirits oppressed, he said, he had the authority to change it. And there was never a time where he dialogued or consulted with them. He cast them out. And so when Jesus wanted to leave, he needed us too to dominate in the spirit and in the natural. So in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Remember, Acts 10:38, Jesus was anointed with what? The Holy Ghost and power. Acts 1:8, you and I are anointed with what? The Holy Ghost and power. And so everything that demons and spirits do that is not consistent with God's ordination, it's our right to change it the way Jesus changed it. And so, dominion, therefore, is the ability to enforce God's government on the earth, the devil's presence notwithstanding. So, this dimension of dominion we are talking about tonight is beyond natural enlargement. There's natural enlargement, but beyond natural advantages and enlargement is our ability to participate with God and to establish his dominion on the earth, regardless of what the devil is doing. I love what God's servant said a moment ago. He said, Bert in the host has said, when only God was in charge, this place was a bush. It was God's partnership with me that turned this place to a city. How true? He had the revelation of dominion. And if you follow the story of how he took over Benin City, you will know that 70% of it is spiritual. The natural things you see is minute compared to the spiritual things that happen. If spiritual things don't happen, natural things can never follow. And so a man who wants to dominate must know how to take advantage of the anointing, and by the anointing begin to conquer. And something that must catch your attention is the fact that if it is the anointing, then my limitations are not a factor. So I don't need to be white, I don't need to be black to have dominion. I need to be anointed. I don't need to be male, I don't need to be female to have dominion. I need to be anointed. I don't need to be tall, I don't need to be short to have dominion. I need to be anointed. I don't need to be fat, I don't need to be slim to have dominion. I need to be anointed. I don't even need to be educated or uneducated, even though education is good. But even if I am not privileged to be educated, I can still have dominion. Because dominion is about the operation of the anointing. And anyone who carries the Holy Spirit is already anointed. If you know this, your life just changed. If you know it. If you know it. See, this is why you can step into a place. You are obviously too young to be there. But the anointing on your life is ageless. You see somebody doing something, and the first question you want to ask is, which country are you from? It's not important. Because the anointing came from a civilization that is older than earth. The reason many persons are conscious of themselves is because they don't understand the anointing. The anointing came to make you a witness. And the anointing came to let you know that your physical limitation is not a factor. In fact, sometimes your natural advantage becomes a hindrance to the anointing. Some people are too educated to be used. When God says, stand up at night and pray, they say, what's the difference? What is the difference? Anytime I pray, won't it work? You are questioning the spirit. God says, rise up, go to that street and pray there. They say, why must I go there? I'm more comfortable here. I'd rather pray in the AC. Well done. By the time you are 90 years old, your gray hair will teach you that you were foolish. And so for a man walking in the anointing, he doesn't consider any natural advantage. Because natural advantages can become great limitations. He said, women received their dead back to life. Women. He was talking about resurrection from the dead. He didn't call any minister. In fact, it was so common that they didn't need to name anybody. Women received their dead back to life. Their dead back to life. Because there was something at work. Somebody will live here today and begin to operate in that anointing on his life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so we are anointed. And the anointing is the key to our dominion. The anointing is the key to our dominion. However, this anointing must be stirred. It must be stirred. And this is where men, the advantages you see in the lives of certain individuals seem to be superior to that which you see in others. Because your life truly begins to count when you make stirring the anointing your preoccupation. See, we pray. And we've learned so many things by prayer. In fact, some of us love prayers now because of what prayer does. But the truth is, nobody loves prayer. Because prayer is very hard. But you have come to discover that if you don't stir this grace on your life, you will sink. You find somebody always studying the scripture, meditating. You say, wow, this man loves the word of God. Yes, he does. Because it reveals God to him. But it takes a lot of discipline to sit down for hours to study. But you have come to know that every time you study, you rise up invigorated. The anointing is stirred. How painful it is to see a man who can raise the dead die. How painful it is to see a man who should empower many and bring them out of poverty die of poverty. How painful it is to see a man whose handkerchief should heal the sick is dying of cancer. Because the very reality is locked within him and he has not given it power and access to flow. One of the greatest things you will do for yourself in your life is to make stirring the anointing your preoccupation. When you wake up in the morning, stir the anointing. When you are about going to bed, stir the anointing. Because even while you are sleeping, things can be happening. I can tell you, one reason many persons are in crisis is because the anointing in their life is as stiff as stone. It no longer flows. And it stopped flowing more than 10 years ago. And so they are confused. They are stranded. Everything is a challenge. They are looking for somebody to help them out of every problem. The question is, are you aware that God dwells on your inside? They've not stirred the anointing. And so three things I will share with us very briefly is number one, the potentials of the anointing. Number two, how to stir the anointing. And number three, the laws of the anointing that you must obey. If you know these three things, you can jump up and say, my life has changed. The potentials of the anointing, how to stir the anointing, and the laws that govern the anointing. I'll just pick out three. Talk about it briefly and then move further. The first potential of the anointing is what we call visibility and global relevance. Some of you come here, you are shouting, Papa, we love you. Who told you that? If he was not anointed, meet him on the road and see the way you will jam him and not even turn to say sorry. Sometimes we walk to a place, people are shouting, they want to touch us. I will look and say, Lord, thank you. I don't know the flavor of the anointing that they are interacting with, but make it stronger. You see a man, you are jumping. See, you go to some places, they literally remove your body and they hold the body. They say, thank you, Lord. I've contacted something. And I tell people, you have the Bible in your house, you have not read. It's my body you are touching. What they don't know is that the anointing is what they are admiring. When a man is anointed, he becomes a spectacle. All through scripture, multitudes follow the anointed. Multitudes. Because the anointing gives visibility and relevance. Jesus was walking for 30 years. Nobody cared. But the moment the anointing came upon him, men and demons were aware. He entered the synagogue and demons began to scream, why have you come before your time? Didn't they see him before? The man has been coming in and out of the synagogue for 30 years. Why is it now you woke up? Because the anointing makes visible. See, that's why you can't do a business and it's hidden. Because when you are doing that business, the anointing comes upon it. If I'm selling pure water today, it will go global. If I'm selling firewood, it will go global. It's not about the business. It's about what is resting on the business. Something. See, when you touch it, something rests on it. Something rests there. And I know it. Because I'm anointed. See, that's what many don't know. Nobody cared about Jesus until he was anointed. And suddenly, in Matthew 4:15, the Bible said, as he returned, it said, his fame went abroad. His fame went abroad. And so both men and spirits were commanded to recognize, acknowledge, and honor him. Nobody introduced him to demons. Nobody introduced him to anybody. His fame just exploded. Meanwhile, before the anointing came, the Bible said at the baptismal service, God himself spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Nobody still celebrated it. How can God talk from heaven? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. God finished, nobody cared. He stood up there and walked as a lonely man into the wilderness. After the anointing came upon him, he didn't need an introduction. He entered the synagogue and demons began to scream. Men began to scream. Say, oh dear Lord. Many of you are waiting for somebody to call you in a stadium. And he will call you in a stadium and say, this is Asamoah Boateng. He's a good man. And then you are doing like this. You will leave that stadium. Everybody will forget you. If they like, they should introduce you in parliament. You will walk out of there. Everybody will forget you. But when the anointing comes upon you, even if it's in the night, walk out. The anointing is an amplifier. The anointing knows what to do for the men not to forget you. The anointing, it comes upon your life. You become a wonder to your generation. They say you are entering the place and people begin to go on leave. You are coming to the UK, people are going on casual leave. Not only in the UK, from the neighboring European countries, France, Italy, everywhere, because they want to see you. Somebody flies for 8 hours and comes and says, sir, I just want to see you today. And sometimes, even before they come, the anointing, because of the anointing, your image will leave you and go and meet them in the dream. And people who have never met you, they will say, I stepped as somebody came to me in the hospital and told me to stand up. And the name of the person is Prophet Nana Sakodi. And they are wondering, who is this person? The anointing is the amplifier. See, as a Christian, you don't need to compromise. They tell you, bring 2,000 Ghana cedis and just lie and we will do this. No, I'm anointed. When I show up, the anointing is a voice. The anointing is a revealer. The anointing makes relevant. I was talking to my friend, Pastor Martins, a while ago. And I said, bro, there's power here. This place is over 2 hours from Accra. The hold up here is like the hold up in Lagos. And people travel every day at night to come. And then when they finish, they drive back. Some people get home around 1 a.m. What is that thing that makes it impossible for them to sleep? It's called the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. When the anointing is on your life, even if you are in the forest, men will find you. They will find you. They have no choice because the anointing is a compeller. It's a compeller. It makes relevance. John the Baptist knew it. Everybody was struggling in the synagogue. He left them. All of you, go and do politics. The Bible said he went to the wilderness. While he was in the wilderness, he said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. The headquarters of God moved from the synagogue to the wilderness. Because spiritual headquarters is not about human politics. One man led the whole of the Sanhedrin, made up of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees, with all the political office. He went to the wilderness. The whole city went there. because of the anointing. And you say you will start a business, you will be in obscurity. No, you can't. You can't. The anointing makes relevant. It produces relevance. This is why you have to spare the anointing. You are into real estate. You need governors to invest in it. You need the president to be mindful of it. There is a power for eternal relevance. When you are stirred and you speak over that business, a minister will lose his peace. He will lose his peace. Don't you know that even kings are manipulated? He said the king could not sleep. And he went himself into the archive. And of all the books that are there, is the book carrying Mordecai's record that he carried. It's called the anointing. A minister can sleep and your image will stand there like this. He will sleep the next day, you will stand there. He will go and start looking for you and want to help you. He won't know why. The anointing. It makes men relevant. It makes men relevant. It makes men relevant. And it gives visibility. It is that relevance that authorizes you to dominate. You are in politics, you need the anointing. You are in business, you need the anointing. Anything you are doing, for you to become a force, an anointing must be operational in your life. Because nobody cares until you are anointed. That's why Jesus told his disciples, I know you've learned everything, but wait until you are endued. Because the world won't listen to you because your teaching is right. You know, sometimes you hear people, you say, their teaching is very sound. I like good teachers. If there's no anointing there, they will be theologians. Nobody will care. Nobody will care. Jesus knew that their doctrine was correct because they learned from him. But he said, wait for the anointing. If your word will hear you, it will be because there's a compelling power on your life. Oh, you know what? Please sit down. Number two, the anointing imparts wisdom and direction. You can't help anybody except as wisdom is at work in you. And wisdom is not just the ability to juxtapose knowledge and experience. No. In the ancient world, if they tell you a man is wise, it's because spirits whisper to him. Wisdom is the ability to know what men don't know. And the fortitude to apply those things to change natural circumstances. A man is not wise because he's knowledgeable. You know something that produces results. Results that may not be explainable but undeniable. So that's why I say wisdom is justified by her children. When I come here and I see what is happening here, I know the man knows something. And so it will be wisdom for me to sit down and learn. Are we together? In 1 John chapter 2 verse 27, it says you have an unction from the Holy Ghost. And you don't need any man to teach you anything. It said that anointing teacheth all things. That anointing has the capacity to bring you into an economy of wisdom where you know beyond your reading. You know beyond your experience. You know beyond your study. And this kind of wisdom is not just knowledge. It's the power for witty inventions. A knowledge that has children, offsprings, that can alleviate the plight of humanity. It will take an anointing to bring you that level of relevance. Every system in the world that is immortalized, the signature of a spirit is on it. Men don't have such capacities. Make no mistakes about it. If you see anything that remains eternally relevant, that wisdom came from the realm of spirits. Every time there's a shift in civilization, spirits whispered. And so it will take the anointing for you to do something that is worthwhile. When God wanted to build a tabernacle that he will tarry in and engage with his children, He said, I have put the spirit of wisdom upon Bezalel and Oholiab. See, there is a wisdom that makes for advancement. Our world is asking questions. Questions they cannot answer. If we will answer those questions, then the oracles of God must speak through us. And so another thing the anointing does is to give you wisdom that men cannot gainsay. You can come to that parliament. When you give a speech, your voice is like the rain. Even if they don't like you, they can't deny the wisdom with which you spoke. They wanted to kill Stephen. When Stephen spoke, the people said, this is an angel. You don't need people to like you to make impact. Most of the time, they will hate you. But they cannot fight what comes out of you. And so because they can't fight it, they have no choice but to submit to it. And so the second way the anointing imparts dominion is to give you strategic wisdom for strategic times. You say the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of times and seasons. They knew what Israel ought to do. And he said the heads of their brethren were 200, and every of their brethren was submitted to them. When you know what others don't know, produce what they don't produce, they have no choice but to submit to you. And so it will take that kind of wisdom to exercise dominion. And the way it happens is that the anointing begins to teach you. For those of us who are preachers, we know this thing like our name. You are coming to teach, you have no message. You scramble around scripture and put 5 verses on the ground, and then you start talking, and the anointing takes over. You are saying things that you yourself, you are hearing for the first time. If you were to study it, you will study for a lifetime to stumble on it. And the excellency is not just the fact that you are saying what you are hearing for the first time. That thing you are saying is changing somebody's life. I went somewhere to teach, and I was teaching them, and suddenly the revelation of the word came to me that the word of God is like hammer. It breaks to pieces everything that is not of God. When I finished, somebody came out, had breast cancer for 5 years, and was healed. I was happy that I was receiving a revelation. As I was receiving it, it was changing somebody's story. That's wisdom. That one is not knowledge. Wisdom produces results. And the anointing teaches you to walk in corridors where mortals don't walk. To enter dimensions that are strange to humankind. And over and above that, he said, he now gives you direction. So you are not just wise, creating inventions and changing people's lives. Even you will walk according to the calendar of your destiny. Because if you are going in the wrong direction, you will hear that voice behind you. This is not the way to go. This is not the way. So there is, it brings you into spiritual accuracy. So you find men, they know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where to do it. And you are wondering, how do you know it? The anointing brings you into accuracy. You can be sleeping, the anointing will wake you up. This is not time to sleep, study. And you study something, you drop it. 2 years later, that thing you studied, the place they are asking you questions to produce that answer is what determines your promotion. The anointing knew it 2 years before and prepared you for the future, even when you were sleeping. You are supposed to go for an interview and 2 a.m. in the morning. And this interview, maybe it's in 1 year time. 2 a.m. in the morning, that anointing wakes you up. You go on YouTube, you click, open, you hear something that was passive knowledge. 1 year later, you go to an interview, they ask a question, nobody knows it. Is that thing you woke up 12 a.m. to hear for 5 minutes and sleep is the answer. Spiritual accuracy. How did he know this was the time to come here? How did he know? Do you know if he didn't come here at that time, some of the favors he received, he may not have received them. Some of the forms that came in may not have come. Because every every operation has a season and a timing in the spirit. So you need high level accuracy to dominate. There are things you don't do now. Any other time you do them, they won't be relevant. And there are things you do now, it will so mar you that you can never redeem yourself. Because timing is too important in the game of dominion. But that level of accuracy is the anointing alone that can order your step to walk in it. Everything does not hold the same weight at every time. There are some things you have to do today. If you delay it for tomorrow, if you like, do it 10 times more, there will be no result. And so, when we speak about direction by the anointing, we are speaking about spiritual accuracy. You need it on your job. You need to know when to call your boss for him to hear you. And for that thing you are looking for to be done, you stand up without guidance. You call your boss when he just finished quarreling with his wife. Because he can't beat his wife, he will channel the whole anger on you. But when the anointing is working, it's when he's excited, you now call. He said, forget, whatever you need, it's done, and it's approved. It's later, you will now remember, what did I approve? It has already been done. Because you needed that split second timing to get what you want. Accuracy is a key to dominion. See, when we are talking about the anointing, it's not just opening deaf ears. It's not just opening blind eyes. The excellency of the anointing is boisterous. It's beyond physical healing. The anointing makes champions. Champions. Sometimes you are doing one business for 15 years and then the anointing is stirred, and then the Holy Ghost just whispers, invest in this thing. You have never done it before, but you can't deny that operation. And you do it. What you gain is more than what you have gained in 10 years of doing that business. And then people are asking you, how did you know? Your friends will even get angry with you. So you are doing this thing you didn't tell us. Even me, I didn't know it would prosper. I only heard a whisper. Because sometimes the difference between life and death is a whisper. It just comes into your spirit and you move. And it becomes that accuracy that no other mortal possesses. The anointing brings relevance. The anointing brings wisdom and spiritual accuracy. Number three, the anointing breaks limitations. There are persons who know everything they need to do, but there is a force resisting them. They can meet 10 people who are prospering and tell you they did the exact thing that those 10 persons did, but their own result is different. Because there's a force resisting them. They don't know why they read, but they never pass. They invest, but they never prosper. Because there's a yoke. There's a foundational yoke that insists that they will never make it. And so it creates a lot of spiritual interjections that frustrates their manifestation. When the anointing comes, it is sensitive enough to identify the yokes and to break them. In Isaiah 10:27, he said, the yoke shall be broken and the burden lifted off your shoulders. Why? Because of the anointing. Have you found many persons? You just talk to them for 5 minutes and you are wondering, you have this kind of wisdom. Why are you here? It's a yoke. They know all the answers to all the problems, but they are never choosing. The day of their manifestation, that's the day something goes wrong. You need something more sensitive than you. You need something more strategic than your brain. It's called the anointing. When it comes, it knows how to identify the yokes of your life to break them. That's why when Jesus was anointed, he made us to understand it was only yokes the anointing was sensitive to. Deaf ears opening, blind eyes seeing, them that are bruised being healed, them that are in prison being let loose. It is the job of the anointing to deliver and to break yokes. And so when a man begins to stir the anointing, there are things even you are not aware they are there. They will just be handled. There was a period of my life, I started developing some skin disease. I would just see all kinds of rashes. I said, is this chicken pox? What is this? I didn't know what it was. And the thing was just coming out every day. I said, what? I kill you. Where are you coming from? I kill you. And the Holy Ghost led me to pray for 7 days. And we're staying in this place where we're praying all the time. And I was blasting prayer. I was praying every day. They were raising prayer point. I was not hearing. You know, sometimes when you come to an environment where people pray, it's just to help you to ascend. You are not part of their prayer point. Because some young people are overzealous. You say pray, they will not even flow with the Holy Ghost. Capo, 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 in Jesus' name. All the scriptures they found, they want to exhaust all of them. And they are praying in 30 minutes, they raise 30 prayer points. When is the time for the prayer? They will use 10 minutes to explain one prayer point. And you will not pray up to 2 minutes, they will start another prayer point. Sir, if you want to preach, tell us to sit down, preach. And if you want to pray, let us pray. How that the angel Gabriel appeared, talk to Mary, if you want this, have faith. That. Before you finish praying that prayer, another prayer. And so when they were raising prayer points, I was stirring a fire. I was stirring a fire. And after a while, the thing began to burn. It began to burn. The growth, the spread did not just stop. The walls of my skin were burnt off and the scars vanished. It vanished. Imagine me coming on national television with all so many strange things on my face. But there's an anointing. When it breaks the yoke, it causes you to glow. It causes you to shine. It causes you to radiate. What should have become your reproach? He rolls it away and it empowers you to roll it up the lives of others. A young man that should walk into a place with excellence will now be coming in and apologizing that it, oh dear Lord, it's not compatible with global ministry. It's not compatible. The anointing is a yoke breaker. It's a yoke breaker. See, when we teach you to stir the anointing, it's because there are many things we may not pick by prophecy. There are many things we may not be able to pray for. But when you stir this thing, it will drown all the yokes. Even the ones yourself don't know how to pray about, the anointing can locate it. Number 4, the anointing is a defense. He said, though the enemy may come in, he said, but the Spirit of the Lord, like a flood, will lift up a standard against them. The anointing is a defense. When a man is anointed, it's a covering around him. The anointing protects. When King Saul was killed, David was marveling. He said, how come this man was killed as though he was not anointed? Because David marveled. An anointed man does not die like that. No. The anointing is a defense because it comes with a law in the spirit. In Psalm 105 verse 15, he said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He rebuked kings for their sake. It doesn't matter the height of your throne. A man who is anointed, there's a commandment, touch him not. Touch him not. The anointing is a defense. Why do you think we enter different territories? Because if he anoints your head with oil, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. It's a defense. A friend of mine was teaching us on Tuesday, and he was not sensitive to the anointing. He now entered the vehicle of kidnappers. And when he entered the car, somebody sat beside him. He will say something, and hit him handkerchief. He will say, and hit him. And my friend started yawning. He wanted to sleep. If you sleep there, they will butcher you. Your body part will be found in the market. He knew he was about to be killed. And when he was trying to understand what was going on, he now saw gun on the other one's waist. He said, how did I enter here? If you don't hear the whisper for direction, better hear the power for defense. Because it's either he leads you away from danger or he protects you in danger. And immediately the Holy Ghost told him, start praying in tongues. Start praying. That's why I tell people, praying in tongues is not about 5 hours or 10 hours. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Prayer is about betting dimensions. And the man started praying. He started praying. He was still afraid, praying under his breath. The people now started smoking. He now knew that they are now charging themselves, because they too need to stir wickedness. And one of the ways they stir their own wickedness is with marijuana, heroin, and all kinds of things. The Holy Ghost told him, pray. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power. That was when he knew he was between life and death. Pakokoa. Itakakataka. He went mad. Irakakatoa. Atiatatata. Urukotokakata. Barak, barak. Hello, Perako. Asuza, Kakataya. He began to blast in tongues. He began to blast. And the man in front asked the one behind, what is happening there? The guy said, I don't know. He looked at them. Kakakota kata. Erodoboa. Erodoboa. You can't drink my blood. My blood is bitter. My blood is bitter. My body cannot be butchered. My organs are not for sale. My voice is for God. My hands are for healing. My feet are to spread the gospel. My organs are not for sale. This tongue is for preaching the gospel. It's not for sale. This hand is for healing the sick. It's not for sale. These feet, they are to enter territories and preach the gospel and bring glad tidings. They are not for sale. You can't butcher me. Pakakotoa, Aragada, Zaka, Shada, Barak. As he started praying aggressively, the people got confused. In that confusion, they drove into a checkpoint. And the soldier guy looked at the people in the car. He wanted them to go, but that anointing drew him back. The soldier guy came back and looked at the car and said, is everything all right? Lo and behold, it was him, the guy asked. And he shook his head. The soldier man said, you come down. You can go. We will deal with this one. The anointing is a defense. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. My God. My God. Who can hurt the anointed? Joseph's brothers, they wanted to kill him. The anointing stopped them. They thought they were being reasonable. They couldn't. They now threw him into a pit. They couldn't rest. The only thing they could do was to sell him. When they sell him, he landed in Potiphar's house. The anointing shielded him. Potiphar's wife wanted to accuse him. The anointing shielded him. They now sent him to the prison. In the prison, he became head of the prisoners. You can't subjugate them. The anointing is a force. It's a force. It's a force. And a point came. He came out of there and became a prime minister. You don't kill the anointed. Do you know how many times Moses confronted Pharaoh? Let my people go that they may serve me. Who talks to Pharaoh like that? Pharaoh is a son god. You don't address him, he will cut your head. But when there's an anointing, even kings are rebuked. He rebuked kings for their sakes.
touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. A point came. Do you know what happened? Moses looked at Pharaoh and said, you will never see me again. Because he was a god to Pharaoh. It's a privilege for you to behold me. You will never see me again. This night, your first son and every firstborn creature in Egypt will be killed. You will never see me again. And Moses walked away from Pharaoh like a god. And that night, Pharaoh said, pack all your people and go. An anointed man is a defended man. An anointed man is a guarded man. God will manipulate systems to preserve you. God will change seasons to preserve you. God will alter protocols to preserve you. Because the anointing is on your head. Don't let anybody intimidate you with bad news. Don't let anybody intimidate you with the fear of death. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Because there's an anointing there. There's an anointing. Tell yourself, I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. Please sit down. The anointing. You are anointed. You think it's about people falling down. No way. It's deeper than that. It's a defense. They told me, you know, they've killed people. Don't go to the village. I said, me? Don't go to which village? Men don't dictate for us. Demons don't dictate for us. Because you have said it. Village, here I come. They'll be panicking. Anything may happen. Things don't happen to us. We make things happen. We are the ones who create the news. We create it. We make things happen. It's by the anointing. When you come, you change things. You change things. Because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. See, they don't kill an anointed man. See, when your time is over, you call your children. Gather around me. You sons of Jacob, surround me. You sons of Israel, I will tell you what will befall you. When you finish blessing them, you will gather yourself and rest. Jesus said, this commandment have I received of my Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. No man taketh my life from me. I can tell you, no man on earth can kill me. Not one man. No man can kill me. I'm anointed of the Holy Ghost. The apostles were not killed. They laid down their lives. They came to Peter. They said, we want to. He said, wait. It's an honor. But this one thing I will tell you. When you crucify me, don't face it up. Turn it upside down. I'm a martyr. It's an honor to go this way. Because my death will become a memorial for generations to come. About the darkness of standing for Jesus. You are guarded. There is a force field around you. You can't be killed. People exhort native doctors, exhort herbalists. If that herbalist calls your name, take my quick photo to the shrine. Let's see if that shrine will stand there for 1 week. Take it there. And then you will know that we are not ordinary. When we talk, angelic forces are mobilized. There's an anointing on our lives. What we are doing, we are not doing by chance. We are doing by a power. Me, afraid? No. The Holy Ghost is in me. The force of the Spirit is on my life. I can't be intimidated. Listen. See, don't join the world system. They are at a lower level. There are many ladies today, they are fighting for equality. And they are saying women must speak. Forget about gender.
See, touch something. And see the way the men will come to you. And say, ma, please lead us. Did you not read about Deborah? She was a judge in Israel. A judge. Because of a power. Men came under her and called her mother in Israel. It's power, not gender. Men are wicked. They will keep creating laws, policies, and systems to marginalize women. If you want to fight that war, it won't finish. But go and touch power. Touch power. Touch power. And come back. See the way the government will give way. See the way nations will open. Touch power. Touch power. And let me see who will look at you in the face and talk about gender. It's the lack of power that makes them bring gullible arguments. Who told you a man is better than a woman? He said he created man and he called them male and female. A woman is also a man. It's the depravity of the soul. And so don't follow that gang up. Touch power. Men will kneel down before you and say, ma, please bless me. Did you read about Captain Kuma? When she entered territories, presidents come to be blessed. When she's walking, people fall down. You can't come around her. Sometimes she's walking into the meeting and the force field is so strong that many meters away from her, it throws people off. You come to such a person, you are talking gender, as she's singing, cancer melts. Doctors come to her meeting and they sit down waiting for her to say somebody's healed so that they can prove her wrong. 1,001 times when they checked, everything she said was like the voice of a God. The anointing, it will humble kings, it will humble crises, it will humble circumstances, because it enthrones. And finally, the anointing makes for mighty works. Don't be known by your gender. Don't be known by your nationality. Be known by mighty works. There are Africans today who go to the United Kingdom and see the king. And they shake hands and talk. And the king is honored to meet them. And he doesn't hide it, he says it. It's not about African or European or American. It's about mighty works. Before Nelson Mandela left this world, he went into the British Parliament to speak. Everybody stood up to honor him. It's not about where you come from. It's about what you do. What is the power that comes out of you? Barack Obama came to speak in that same parliament. And he made a statement. He said, I heard three persons spoke before I came. He said, the Pope, the Queen, and Nelson Mandela. He says, either what you are doing is a joke. Either you are trying to play pranks on me, or this is a standard I cannot keep. How can the American president consider it an honor to speak where a black man spoke? Because when there is a work that men can't deny, even offices will go down. And that is in the natural. Now imagine somebody who does mighty works by the Spirit. There's a man called Billy Graham. Operated under the anointing just to preach. Preaching. When he died, they placed his corpse where they placed the corpse of the American president. They gave him a presidential honor. Not because he held any political position. He just carried an oil. That without contesting in politics, the American people knew it would be a great dishonor not to treat him like their president. You are not disadvantaged. You have not just walked in the anointing on your life. You have not walked there. Mighty works. The disciples were men of mighty works. Mighty works. So you cannot but honor them. A man went to a village to minister. And they told him, here, we don't allow missionaries. But their king was dying. And when they told the king, somebody came who claims he can help. The king said, bring him. I'm going to hear your gospel, but I'm dying. What can you do about it? And he looked at the king. He said, is that all? The king said, I'm dying. You say, is that all? Is that not all enough? And he said, that's not a challenge. Stand up. He didn't pray. Stand up. We pray about more important things. If it's sickness, we rule there. Stand up. We rule. See, we rule in the world of sickness. In the world of demons, we are rulers. Stand up. The moment he said stand up, all the demons head. And immediately, the paralyzed king shook his hand. Hand was working. He pushed himself up and stood up. He said, what is the name of your God? All of us will serve him. One dimension of power can make for 1,000 worlds. And so in addition to talking, there's an anointing on your life. And the 15 that anointing does is to engender mighty works. Every one of us is supposed to be a worker of miracles. Our world is asking questions. Where is your God? There are too many talkers. We need men of power. Nobody took over this world without power. No. Spirits don't understand Ashanti language. Spirits don't understand English. No. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And when it is life, it's power. You don't speak power, go and sit down. And that's why there's an anointing on your life. So that you, who was underrated, you, who was rejected, suddenly becomes the solution. And when they ask you, how, you said, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. That's the anointing. The anointing on somebody's life is being stirred for mighty works. For mighty works. You are anointed. How do you stir the anointing? Quickly. Ah, we are out of time. My God. We are out of time. How do you stir the anointing? Number one, you stir the anointing by talking to yourself. Ephesians 5 verse 18 to 20. You know, the reason most of you never walk in the anointing is because you are conscious of the gossip. Allow the gossiper to be gossiping. He's behind you. Go forward. No serious minded person has time for gossip. That they have time to talk about you, it means you are the one making news in their world. So you know what to do? Create more news. Let them keep talking. While you are moving forward. While you are moving forward. But the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It said, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. So the way you get drunk, the way you stir the anointing, is to talk to yourself. Sometimes you've got to lock the door and said, as he is, so am I in this world. Sometimes you lock the door and say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Sometimes you lock the door and you say, these signs follow me. These signs follow me. In his name, I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. If I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. If I lay hands on the sick, they recover. Even if I stand upon scorpions and serpents, they shall by no means touch me. Sometimes you tell yourself, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Sometimes you tell yourself, I am the child of God, and so I have overcome them. I have overcome them. This is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory. I have the victory. I have overcome the world. Ghana is too small. Africa is too small. Europe is too small. I have overcome. Don't wait for somebody to come and encourage you. They'll look at you and say, wow, you have a good voice.
God will help you. Thank you very much. But God will not help me. I am mightily helped of God. God has already helped me. I'm a phenomenon going somewhere to happen. My generation is about to see what they have never seen before. The other time, sir, I was watching Jacko, and the guy walks up to somebody who had cancer. And he said, "Do you believe Jesus can heal this cancer?" The people said, "Yes." And he held the cancer. The moment he said in the name of Jesus, before he started praying, cancer pulled out. Is this cancer? Cancer pulled out. The other day I was watching A.A. Allen, and they brought a child. The leg was like rubber. It didn't take 5 minutes. He held the child. He said, "Look at this precious child. Do you believe Jesus can heal him?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you heal this boy." And he dropped the boy on the ground. And the rubber leg, suddenly, bones entered. And the legs became strong. And the child began to walk immediately. A child that has never walked did not just receive bones, but the child began to walk. And I remembered what Paul said. He said, "According as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe and we speak." Immediately I said, "Allen is in the past. I am in the future. Jacko is in the past. I am in the future. What they did, we will do 10,000 times more." You talk to yourself. See, sometimes I'm meditating and regurgitating this thing in my spirit, and it becomes too much, and I just start whispering it. And my wife will talk to me and say, "What did you say?" I say, "No. There's a word here. There's a civilization inside me. I'm saying it. Sometimes I get carried away and I'm hearing angels talking. Sometimes I hear my spirit talking to my soul, and there's a debate going on. Why have you not entered this dimension? What are you waiting for? And I'm carried away. And as I'm hearing it, I just burst into the world. And I start talking it. I said, "Nations bow. Kings bow. We are taking over territories. We are entering forbidden lands where no butter has come before. We are taking the gospel there because we will set our world on fire." And as you are saying these things, your spirit is charged. Is charged. Sometimes when you are charged like that, God will, because the anointing does many things. When people see men prosper, they say they are manipulating people. Why? What ignorance. Do you know the people sitting here? Some are professors, some are doctors, some are military generals, some are businessmen. A businessman who can make 1 million cedis, is that a foolish man? That you will just come and brainwash and they will give money. The money that came out of sweat, when the river is dead, the river compels things. They cast their substance there, and even they know that when they cast their bread upon the waters, they find it after many days. They know. And so here, sometimes when you are charged like that, somebody calls you from America. Say, "Man of God, I am led. And every time you hear, "I am led," know that the anointing has gone to work. Because if there is no "I am led," the work of God won't go forward. The other time in my country, they changed the financial policy and Naira became scarce. And it's still going on. A very prominent person sent his wife to bring a bundle of money to my house and said, "You will need cash to run around. Because in the weeks to come, there will be no cash." I didn't go to join the ATM. I didn't call anybody. But when the river is dead, treasures come in. Treasures. Because the river broke into four heads, and one of them flowed to a villa, and the gold in the land of their villa is gold. Sometimes when that anointing is dead, people just favor you and you are wondering what happens. Sometimes when that anointing is stirred, you enter a place and supernatural things begin to happen. Barrenness, banished, all kinds of frustrations, things just happen. Not because you spoke. The anointing. Did you not read Samuel's life? Samuel stirred the anointing to a point where the whole of Naioth in Ramah came under the influence of the anointing. A band of armed officers came there. They dropped their guns and began to prophesy. Until Saul thought they were foolish, and Saul himself came there. And when Saul showed up, the Bible said he tore his garment and prophesied naked from night to morning because of the anointing. Samuel did not just grow the anointing on himself. The anointing became a radar over his city. You can stir the anointing, it will become a radar in your house. Did you not hear the testimony our father shared? They bring people and drop on the altar. Nobody prayed for them, but the anointing is resident. It's resident. Because when you stir the anointing, sometimes the anointing becomes a river and it's flowing from you and touching people. When you stir the anointing, sometimes it becomes a radar. It hangs over a house. It hangs over a family. It hangs over a territory. Because you are there, certain things can happen. Did you not read about John G. Lake? John G. Lake went to Spokane in the United States of America and sickness went down. The whole next city was cleansed because one man came with so much of the healing anointing. The whole city, it was declared that Spokane was the healthiest city in the world. Did you read about Evan Roberts? He stirred the anointing to a point where the whole of Wales came under that anointing. They started retrenching police officers. They didn't need them anymore. Crime died. And then there are times when you stir the anointing, it's not just a river, it's not just a radar, it becomes a mantle. Mantles don't appear. Mantles are cooked. They are cooked. When a man walks in an anointing, until he materializes that anointing, he can give it to somebody else. That's what you call a mantle. Sometimes it may take 10 years of consistency in one dimension of consecration. God tells you every 3 hours, pray for 1 hour. And you are following that cycle. Every 3 hours, you are praying for 1 hour. And the power will be downloading. It will be downloading. After 10 years, it becomes a rod. They give you. Say, take this one, is your own. After many generations, anybody who handles it, they will name it after you. Elijah created that mantle. And many years later, when John came, they said he came in the spirit of Elijah. They didn't call it the spirit of God. Although it is the spirit of God, but it was the consecration of Elijah that caused it to become a dimension that he hosted. And when Elijah wanted to go, he said, ask me whatever you want, I will give you. The guy said, give me a double portion of your anointing. He didn't say it's not possible. He said it's hard. The man knew he could give it because he had it. And he told him, if you see me when I'm taking, you have it. The question is, who told you it's yours to give? Who told you? There is a realm you enter. You provoke what is on your life until God gives it to you as a scepter. When you want to go, anybody you like, you can give him. Because when you stay it, it can be a river. It can be a radar. And it can be a mantle. That's how it works. That's where you get to. And they tell you something is going wrong. And you say, I cannot go. Take it there. You send it on an errand. Because it has become your possession. You can carry your handkerchief and say, take this handkerchief. Go and put on the dead. And they will put it, the dead will come back to life. There will be no difference whether you are there or not. Because this thing now you possess it is a rot. They can tell you somebody is possessed of demons. You will send the handkerchief. And the demons will do exactly what the handkerchief will do exactly what you would have done if you were there. Because now the anointing has come to a level in your life where it's a rod, but there's a technology. Be not drunk with wine. Wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself. Speaking. See, be drunk. Be drunk. Talk to yourself. Talk to yourself. Let this anointing. See, there is a time when you are talking to yourself. After a while, you start shaking.
you start charging. You can literally feel yourself charging. And you start running in your room. You start doing it. You continue like that. Then there's an overflow. People will come to your house. They'll fall under the power. People will come to your house. They'll be healed. There's a river flowing there. There's a river. There's a river. And then a point comes. It's a radar. Anywhere you go, it's like open heaven. And a time comes, it's a mantle. When it becomes a mantle, you can send it. You can give it. This is the way of a spiritual man. The ability to cultivate the anointing until the anointing becomes tangible. But the first way is by talking to yourself. The second way to stir the anointing. Please sit down. Oh, my God. Time is the body. Let me say one more. And then I will talk about the laws. I want you to practice these things. See, Christianity is not hard, but it must be practiced. That's where a lot of people miss it. They think things will just happen. No, things don't happen. We make them happen. We make them. See, there are certain dimensions that have become tangible in my life. I can start it at the beginning of the service or at the end of the service because I have it. I can walk into a service and make a declaration and people will be baptized with fire. I have it. I can walk into a service and say, if you have an ear condition, now it's healed. It will happen. If I come into a service and I say, every growth dematerialized now, lumps will vanish. I have caught it. I have caught it. As you grow, you pick things. You pick things. You pick things. That's what fortifies you for dominion. You can enter an anointing that you tell yourself, this week, I will buy a new part of the country, a new land. I will possess a new land. You either buy it or it will be gifted, but it must happen. Because you have conquered it. You have conquered it. When you talk, things happen. Stare the anointing. Too many persons are not staring the anointing. You find many healers. Everybody sick in their family. And they are asking God, intervene. And God is saying, I've intervened. That's why I sent you to that family. I've put the oil to heal on your life. You are the answer. The answer has left heaven. You find people in a family. Somebody carries the oil for wealth. Everybody is poor. And they are looking for who will give somebody a job. And the whole family is begging. Grandfather, grandmother, father, mother, all going to beg so that somebody will get a job. If only you would stir the anointing. You will notice that the river of wealth is already flowing. He says, speaking to yourself. Some people only talk murmur, some lamentation, some regrets, and the anointing keeps stifling, not able to flow. Number two, how do you stir the anointing? It's by prayer. It's by prayer. Every time you pray, something happens in your spirit. There's no prayer that is a waste. Not one prayer is a waste. In Luke chapter 9, from verse 28 to 29, and Matthew 17, verse 2 and 3, the Bible showed us the secret of Jesus, why he always walked in the anointing. It said, Jesus, after 8 days, took Peter, James, and John to the top of the mountain. And he said, there he prayed, and he was transfigured before them. The anointing, he stirred it in prayer until he literally began to glow. He began to glow. And when he came down from the mountaintop, there was a case. A boy who was deaf and dumb was brought to him. The moment Jesus looked at him, he said, get out. The Bible said the demon tore him apart but left. And the disciples asked him, why couldn't we do this? He said, this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. The unction is there, but you have to stay it. Because in Matthew 10, these same people cast out demons. Matthew 17, they are now struggling with demons. Why? The anointing had become cold. the power had been congealed in their spirit. But Jesus will always fan to flame. In fact, in Mark 1:35, he said every day in the cool of the day, he said he went to a solitary place. There he prayed. And Paul also knew the secret. In 2 Corinthians 5, from verse 1 to 3, Paul said we have a tabernacle that is of heaven. He said daily we groan that we may be clothed. He knew that when a man begins to pray, the anointing is activated. And so day and night, they gave themselves to prayer. In Acts chapter 6 verse 4, it is not meet for us to give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Many times it looks foolish. You are praying, rabakabakabakab, and somebody looks at you. He says, what is this kabakaba you are doing all the time? I'm not doing kabakaba. I'm generating power. I'm generating power. I'm generating power. Because there's a place I will go to, I will need speech power. That when I talk, the ears of presidents will hearken. There's a place I'll go to, I'll need miracle working power. That when I touch people, the sick will be healed. I need that tank to be filled. And the way to do it is to pray in the spirit. Is to pray in the spirit. Is to pray. I told you here that when you start praying, you start ascending. He said in Jude verse 20, he said, you dearly beloved, you dearly beloved. He said, building up. The word is to charge up. Charge up. Your battery, your phone may have many potentials, but if it's not charged, the whole potentials are dead. He said, you dearly beloved, charging up yourself in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So a phone that can make call can be there and not make call. A phone that can browse may be there and not browse. The only cure is to charge it. Charge it. If you want to browse, charge it. If you want to make calls, charge it. If you want to send messages, charge it. If you want to, anything you want to do with the phone, just charge it. Some of you, the healing anointing is there, but you are not charged. The power to get wealth is there, but you are not charged. You are asking God, Lord, where are you? God is saying, charge up, charge up, charge up. I am inside you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. I am right there, but charge up, charge up, charge up. You are not ordinary. The power to change the world is on your inside. But you need to charge up. You need to charge up. Become volatile. Demons can tell your temperature. The water you drink, if it is heated, it can become a weapon. At 0 degree, at 10 degree, at 20 degree, it's good for drinking. But when it is at 100 degrees, if you drink it, you are in trouble. Because it has been boiled. It vaporizes. So you that they are looking at as a commoner, wait until you are charged. That's when you will know that it's called the lion and the lamb. You have seen the lamb. You don't know in the lamb is the lion. You are not ordinary. You are not ordinary. You have just not charged. We have seen the cold aspect of you. Where is the hot dimension? Ah,
is about to be unleashed here. But hear me, your hunger must reach the heavens. In the next 1 minute, I want you to pray and ask God, anoint me afresh. You know, when a man is anointed with fresh oil, his horn is exalted. 1 minute. 1 minute. Before this place ruptures, ask the Lord to anoint you. In first. Things that will happen now. Please lift your hands toward heaven. God wants to raise men with the spirit of revival. The nations are in darkness. The territories are cold. Envoys of Zion needs to emerge again. And so God wants to raise men in the order of John the Baptist, in the order of Jonah, that can speak over nations. And from the king, their garments will be torn in repentance. It's the fire that stirs the heart of men and rattles the foundations of nations. There's an anointing coming now to set men on fire, to put fire on your walls by the Spirit, wherever you are, the garment of fire, the garment of fire, the garment of fire. Ushers, help them. I release that fire now. I release that fire.
You're red.
You're red.
You're red.
You're red.
You're red.
You're red.
In the spirit, there are ranks. There are ranks. There's a level you get to in God, you become a custodian. A custodian is a keeper of a dimension. He doesn't stumble in and out of it. God entrusts him with it. I see the number 24 in the spirit, and God is telling me he's raising 24 custodians over 24 sectors. Power, economy, education, media, different sectors. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone here, you are entrusting with the powers of the custodian. In the name of Jesus, take that power now. Help them. Help them. Help them. Help them. Hey, yeah. Hey, yeah. In the name of Jesus, hear this. The devil is not a fool. Make no mistakes about it. The devil is a strategist. The reason God does this is because he wants to fortify the body. As I speak to you now, the devil is doing overtime work in the political space in Ghana. Many young men have been misled into the occult because they are looking for power, they are looking for relevance, they are looking for popularity. And so you see different kinds of initiation, Freemason, all sorts of initiation, because they don't know that the anointing empowers. Many are going into rituals, wickedness, deception for economic power, because they don't know the anointing and powers. Tonight, God says he's raising custodians. Some of them will have power in the political corridor. You will keep rising and keep rising. Keep rising and keep rising. Keep rising and keep rising. Until you attain the zenith of political power. Wherever they are. Everyone with scepter for governmental power. Everyone with a scepter for economic power. The authority to execute. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the doors on the internet, by the Spirit, let that power rest now. Take that power. Words of glory. Erenakaele. Afila Kuma Sigana Salagate Aparaya Farak Tetalish Kabina Palo Aroro Kagaga Ililaya Malina Tayande Afizo Kabi Kakata Omarada. Thank you, Father. We are out of time. Hear this. Hear this. God is dealing with yokes. Yokes now. You came here with a terminal infirmity, organ infection, a terminal infirmity, or there's a tumor in your body threatening your existence. This is the time for the yokes to break, for the anointing breaks the yoke. Leave him, leave them. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over curses,
Everyone laboring here under a course or a pattern of the bloodline. In the name of Jesus, I command those courses, break now. I command yokes, break now. Every infirmity, chains of infirmity, spirits of infirmity manifesting as cancer, manifesting as blood infection, manifesting as organ infection, manifesting in form of sickness, of blindness, deafness, lameness, bone conditions, in the name of Jesus, break up their lives. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. Ushers, help them. The hand of God is coming upon people. Yokes are about to break. Yokes are about to break. Kidney infections are about to go. Tumors are about to go. Bones are about to be strengthened. Bones, broken bones, ligaments, tendons, short bones. I command them to grow out. Bones, in the name of Jesus. My God, ear conditions, eye conditions. Now. Receive your healing. You couldn't see, begin to see. You couldn't hear, begin to hear. There's a growth in your body. It vanishes now. Brain conditions, they are healed right now. Thank you, Father. My God. Yokes are breaking. Yokes are breaking. Yokes are breaking. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. People with heart conditions, those palpitations are gone. The pain in the chest is gone. The Lord is touching people. And please lift your hands. Before I call for those who are touched, I hear in my spirit that God is anointing 7 persons for special miracles. Special miracles. Special miracles. That wind blows now. Ushers, please help me find them. Please help me now. Special miracles. Special miracles. Take that grace now. With a blood condition has just been healed. Incessant flow of blood. You've just been healed. I'm seeing a lady. You are wearing something like a white shirt. You have a kidney challenge. It has affected you. Please catch her so she's not injured. Help her. The Lord just touched you now. You've been healed.
Thank you, Father. 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 Some of you have been drunk in the spirit. You will find yourself laughing. Something just came upon your life. The Spirit of the Living God. Please don't be distracted. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Power, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing God open new programs in people's spirits. Thank you, Father. Tonight we are constrained for time. But tomorrow is the vigil. We have time to minister in the spirit. But if you have noticed a change already in your body, can you just wave at me? Look at that. If you have noticed a change, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not saying you felt fire or you felt air or coldness. No. Something tangible has happened already to you. Can you wave? Something tangible. My God. Something tangible. Hear this. Hear this. We can't take the testimonies now. But you need to step out. Just to glorify God. You want to walk out quickly? If you have been touched. Something tangible. Maybe a growth left you. You couldn't walk. You are now walking. You had an ear condition, an eye condition. Something tangible. Everyone who waved, responding to that, can you just come? I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. Shekinah is here. I release the sound of the heavens, the sound of creation. So Yahweh is here. We cry holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua. Shekinah is here. We cry holy. Telling me that many more people have been touched. Check your bodies. You've noticed a change. Run out quickly. 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 You've noticed a change. Don't hesitate. Come. Come. Woo! realizing now you've been touched and they are still coming. Some of you will go home and discover something changed. There are some of you, your loved ones who didn't come because you lifted your hands. The anointing became a radar over your family. Give the Lord the praise. See the people the Lord touched. Can you give the Lord a big hand? We can't take the testimonies, we're out of time. But you just write it. Right? You just write it down. So pray on them and glorify God for you. We are already out of time. And those of you who will go home, discover something happened, you can also write it down so that tomorrow we'll take a few of the testimonies before we continue to pray. Glory to God. Can you give Jesus a big hand? Congratulations. 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. They are celebrating Jesus for you because of you. Give the Lord a shout. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Your healing is permanent in the name of Jesus. You may go to your seat, but please don't forget to write it down. God bless you. Can we celebrate our Father, the Prophet, the Apostle, over this house?
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.